back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm coming back a week early. I am just now finishing up my Sukkuk of 7 days. Now I know and understand that most of you are on a Northern Hemisphere calendar. I understand this. So I'm not going to say anything about what you need to do or how you need to do it. I'm just going to show you the stories and where Sukkuk actually came from. So then when you prepare for it in your calendar, you can observe all of the things that I may have missed. I didn't do everything 100% perfect. But I did the core meaning of Sukkuk that's mentioned in Exodus and Leviticus. I did it well enough, but other things that I'm going to mention during the show, I didn't do so good in. That's what comes with improvement. It comes with knowing and understanding and being prepared early so you know exactly what you need during these feast days. I'm going to start off with Jubilees 16, verse 16. And we returned in the seventh month and found Sarah with child before us, and we blessed him. And we announced to him all the things which had been decreed concerning him, that he should not die till he should beget 6 sons more, and should see them before he died, but that in Yitzchak should his name and seed be called, and that all the seed of his sons should be the other nations, and be reckoned with the other nations. But from the sons of Yitzchak, one should become a holy seed, and should not be reckoned among the other nations. This is already the Most High separating us before we came into this world. And I wish more Negroes would understand this, but they don't understand it. And they're not supposed to understand it because the Most High is only calling back a remnant. He's not calling back all of Yasharel, which is as numerous as the sand on the shore. So you, being a Gentile, are truly blessed to even understand these feast days. That he is not waking up most of his own children, or I should say, two-thirds of his own children, but he's waking up a remnant, one-third that he's going to bring through the furnace, through the fire, and try them as gold is tried. And you are lucky to be one of those called out assembly Gentiles where you can participate in the feast days where the rest of the Negro are participating in social media and pagan holidays that your descendants have created. So you are, and somewhat is a standing ovation to you, but you at some point are denying the pagan rituals or the feast days of your own bloodline and choosing Yahuwah. Negroes are still choosing their masters, still choosing their oppressors. It's not for a lack of knowledge and understanding. It's just a sense of laziness. Because at this point, they have to see most of the Israelites talking about feast days, Passover, Sukkot, and Shavuot. Regardless if you're coming from a camp or it's coming from just a brother pushing his truth on his own. It don't matter. They still see it with their own two eyes and say, you know what? I'm still getting blessed by Thanksgiving. I'm still getting blessed by Christmas. I'm still getting blessed by Easter. And it will only take curses, lamentation, shame and mockery and reproach in the end times to actually have them understand that religion is not going to be saved, that it's going to be folded into Luciferianism, which is almost already there now. And I'm going to talk about that later when it comes to Baal Peor. If you understand what Baal Peor was, it was a Moabite and Ammonite god, and they worshiped sex, which is kind of understandable if you know how the children of Ammon and Moab came to be. We know that Lot's daughters slept incest with Lot, creating Moab and Ammon. So when they're in the territory of Africa and the Israelites were coming out of the wilderness, they joined themselves to Moab and Ammon. And they served Baal Peor, which is the Lord of the Opening. And if you understand why they translated Baal to Lord, and most Christians call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, And you understand also why sex or sexual perversion, such as homosexuality, dwells in these new modern Christian churches. Because those entities, those spirits, those unclean rocks have the ability to go into these buildings. Because you keep calling Jesus Christ Lord. You're calling him Baal. Your Lord and Savior. Your Baal Peor. Because what are they saying? He gets us. It's okay for us to be in sexual perversion because he gets us. It's okay to be a trans man or a trans woman or a trans child because he gets us. That's why homosexuality has creeped in, or that Jezebel spirit has creeped in to these modern churches. It's the New Age Baal Peor. Satan is very smart in what he was doing, especially in translating the words. So if you understood what Baal Peor means, you would never want to go and call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, or even call the Most High God Yah Lord. But anyway, returning to Jubilee 6 and Sukkot. So this was based around Sarah being with child and being blessed and being called, set apart. And it says, and during these 7 days, he brought each day to the altar. Let me go back. It says, for he should become the portion of Most High, and all his seed had fallen into the possession of Elohim, that it should be unto Yahuwah a people for his possession above all nations, and that it should become a kingdom and priests and a holy nation. And he built there an altar to Yahuwah who had delivered him, who was making him rejoice in the land of his sojourning. And he celebrated a feast of joy in this month 7 days, near the altar which he had built at the well of the oath. And he built Sukkot for himself and for his servants on this feast. And he was the first to celebrate the feast of Sukkot on the earth. And during these 7 days, he brought each day to the altar an ascending smoke offering to Yahuwah, 2 oxen, 2 rams, 7 sheep, 1 he-goat for a sin offering, that he might atone thereby for himself and for his seed. So Abraham was righteous, but also Abraham knew when he sinned. He knew he was seeking repentance. And the only way he thought by seeking repentance, because it was no Ruach HaKodesh, was through the offering of animals. And the Most High is so smart in his wisdom and knowledge, he took away us abusing the right of just sacrificing livestock. He said, all right, I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to give you an image. I'm going to give you an example, a representation of an offering that you must be in order for you to ascend up to where I am. You have to be without spot, be without blemish. And morning and evening, he burnt fragrant substances, frankincense, galbanum, stacte, and nard, and myrrh, and spice, and costum. All the 7 he offered, crushed, mixed together in equal parts and pure. And he celebrated this feast during 7 days, rejoicing with all his heart and with all his soul. He and all those who were in his house, and there was no stranger with him, nor any that was uncircumcised. So Abraham made sure with the Gentiles, the heathens, the strangers that were about him, they didn't necessarily understand his new faith, but he made them be circumcised. Abraham made sure that, okay, if you're going to be around me, you must do and be as I am. That also goes to you Gentiles and strangers. When you're around us, being Israelites, being that our seed was called, you do as we do. I know that's a hard concept to understand because of the engineered race war that's going on right now on social media, where now people are talking about, oh, I got black fatigue. I don't even know how you got black fatigue. Most of you Europeans, you nations outside of us, don't even conversate or interact with more than 10 black people a week, probably. How are you getting black fatigue? It's because you're on social media for too long. And when you're on social media for too long, they manipulate the algorithm so that the stories or the racial discord that is on your timeline gets amped up 10 times more when you open your phone. So, of course, you're going to see all that you need to see about the Negro community and Negro America is because also the puppets of this system, the Negro Prince Hall puppets of this system, they are also doing their job. Chris Brown gets arrested. In the last 72 hours, let me go through this. Chris Brown gets arrested randomly. He'd been quiet for this long. All of a sudden, he hits somebody on the head with a bottle, which is the same altercation that he went through with Rihanna and Drake in some nightclub. Then Tory Lanez. He gets stabbed. Supposedly, in his lungs. Like I said, it's the whole thing about Tory and Meg, it was a ritual. No one got shot. They should have told, that should have been evident to you when they didn't pull no ballistic reports off the weapon, off the bullets or the gun being fired anywhere in the neighborhood. It would have struck buildings, it would have struck a home, it would have struck glass, it would have struck a car. They didn't do any ballistic reportings. They didn't lay out no numbers or where those bullets landed. You just see a video of her backing up as if her foot was cut by glass or something. And that could have been done on her own or somebody else could have done it in the car. But my point is, it wasn't real. So now they're telling you that Meg lied, that he took the rap for somebody else and he got stabbed in prison. Now they went from black woman versus black man to now it's black man versus black woman. Antonio Brown gets arrested. Outside Aiden Ross's event, was he's a Jew. So you should know Prince Hall Freemasonry, York Rite Scottish Rite Freemasonry are all around that little scenario. He pulls out a gun and shoots it in the air or shoots it somewhere after supposedly getting jumped. Then a plantation in New Orleans burns to the ground. Without cause, without reason, it just went up in flames. The same exact state in the same exact city, 11 Negro inmates flee a prison, a penitentiary, behind some small little bathroom toilets that are connected to the walls. They told you that they got through that little tiny toilet. They got through it. They got through there with through bars and iron. They slipped through that. They must have been the skinniest, most lightest brothers in the world. Reparations being brought up. After they already failed in the California Black Caucus, now they're bringing it up again. Now they want $1 trillion instead of the billions that they had before. Which is not going to happen because in Yeshayahu it says, you sold yourselves, we sold ourselves for nothing. We sold ourselves to wickedness and to transgress the Torah for nothing. So we shall be redeemed without money. Now, Genesis 15, 13, and 14, it talks about once this place is judged, we will leave with substance. It didn't say we would leave with debt fiat currency. It didn't say we would leave with reparations through money. It says those one-third, the remnant, will come away from this land with great substance. Ransacked America just like we ransacked Egypt. Just like we took all of Egypt's goldly and precious things, we'll be able to walk out of here with America's gold and precious things. We won't walk out of here with money. We'll walk out here whatever we get our hands on. We'll be able to spoil this country. But Negroes who think BGOs and Black Greek Organization politicians is going to help them achieve this reparation, it is false. It's a lie. It's to keep you gatekeep because the Most High is not going to bless you unawakened Negroes with reparations, with substance, or with money while still doing the same exact slave mentality, pagan holidays that were forced upon you then and you still do them now. You are never, ever getting rewarded for that. Never getting rewarded for that. You might as well get that out your mind. He is not going to allow you Negroes to get reparations from this government when he sent us here to be obedient to him. So the ones he's going to reward are the ones that are going to be following his laws, his statutes, and his ordinances. And it starts with these feasts. Jubilee 16:28. And we blessed him forever and all his seed after him throughout all the generations. This is the angel of the presence talking to Moshe about the feast of Sukkot and Abraham. And we blessed him forever and all his seed after him throughout all the generations of the earth because he celebrated this feast in its season according to the testimony of the heavenly tablets. Now, tell me, is Thanksgiving written on the heavenly tablets? Because I haven't seen that scripture. Is Christmas dinner written on the heavenly tablets? Because I haven't seen that scripture. Easter, is it written on the heavenly tablets? Because I haven't seen that scripture. And it says, celebrated this feast in its season. So this is why I'm saying I'm not going to go hard at any of you who are still in the northern hemisphere, because you're just without understanding at this point in time. If Hanukkah is mentioned in the book of Yochanan or the book of John being in winter, Hanukkah being in winter, if your calendar is in the northern hemisphere, the ninth month or the 10th month, if you are starting your calendar in March or April, that's only getting you to October and November. March is one, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. That's not winter. That's still fall, autumn, the harvest season. You would have to actually move it somehow into April. I don't know how you would ever do that and still be able to use the new moon feast days and the new moon phases mentioned in Enoch 78. So that is why in the southern hemisphere, I follow it because it says he celebrated this feast in its season. So you have to have the correct month. And you have to have the correct season. Or damn, make sure you're close to it. With new knowledge and understanding and information that comes out. For this reason, it is ordained on the heavenly tablets concerning Yasharel that they shall celebrate the Feast of Sukkot 7 days with joy in the seventh month, acceptable before Yahuwah, a statute forever throughout their generations every year. That means just because we woke up, don't mean we just woke up and go, all right, we cool. We just do as is. You continually search. You continually do what is acceptable to the Most High God, the Most High Yahuwah, in order for you to be tried and be chosen worthy for his blessings. And to this, there is no limit of days. For it is ordained forever regarding Yasharel that they should celebrate it and dwell in Sukkot and set wreaths upon their heads and take leafy boughs and willows from the brook. And Abraham took branches of palm trees and the fruit of goodly trees, and every day going around the altar with branches 7 times a day in the morning, he praised and gave thanks to his Elohim for all things in joy. Now this is what I didn't do. I did it last night. I didn't do it consistently. Was take the palm trees that I had from the trees that's in the backyard and go around the altar 7 times. I only did that twice. I should have done it every morning just to emulate Abraham, just to know what it felt like. You don't have to do it. It's not a statue or ordinance to do it, but you should want to do it because it makes you feel closer to the man that the Most High called his friend. So you should want to emulate what has been successful for Abraham, because obviously Abraham was blessed exceedingly. So you would want the same promises that the Most High was in covenant with Abraham about. All right. And also, you can make reefs out of anything. It don't have to, if you don't have a brook by your house or a river, you can just go and snatch branches off of. It's understandable. Just do what you can. I didn't do this year. I didn't do the reefs upon my head. And every time I come upon this feast day, I always miss it. I always miss the part about the reefs. So next year, I'm going to make sure I do the reefs. Now, I've done frankincense, because that's the only thing I had in the house at the time. So I've done frankincense. It's cool. It helps the fire even actually burn a lot more than when you just use wood. When you just sprinkle frankincense on top, I had like the rock salt type of frankincense. So when I was sprinkling on top, it made the fire, you know, blaze. And plus it smelled good after all when it started cooking. And especially you would want to put the frankincense after your ascending smoke offering, because once that, you know, that charred burnt smell, it kind of stinks. So I think putting the frankincense or the spices on top and letting it burn is a nice little cherry on top. Jubilees 31, verse 3. And he went up, Yaakov, he went up on the new moon of the seventh month to Bethel, or Baal. He went up on the new moon of the seventh month. Now, people keep saying, oh, it's translated in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It just means month. That makes sense. It wouldn't make sense for it to say, and he went up on the month of the seventh of the seventh month. New moon is for a purpose and for a reason. And I'm not going to rehearse or recite all of the scriptures that talk about the new moon in the New Testament, Old Testament, and the Apocrypha. I'm just not going to do it. You heard me say it and repeat it numerous times. And he built an altar at the place where he had slept, and he set up a pillar there. So again, here is Yaakov, Yasharel, emulating his grandfather and setting up a pillar of stone. And he set up a pillar there, and he sent word to his father Yitzchak to come to him to his sacrifice and to his mother Rivka. And of course, Isaac couldn't come because he's increasing in age. And Yaakov rose early in the morning. And I'm on Jubilees 32, verse 2. And Yaakov rose early in the morning on the 14th of this month, and he gave a tithe of all that came with him, both of men and cattle, both of gold and every vessel and garment. Yeah, he gave tithes of all. And in those days, Rachel became pregnant with her son Benjamin. And Yaakov counted his sons from upwards, and Levi fell to the portion of Yahuwah, and his father clothed him in the garments of the priesthood and filled his hands. And on the 15th of this month, again, the 15th of this month, which is the middle of the month of the seventh month, which is why we celebrate Sukkot. And he brought to the altar 14 oxen from amongst the cattle, and 28 rams, and 49 sheep, and 7 lambs, and 21 kids of the goats as an ascending smoke offering on the altar of sacrifice, well-pleasing for a sweet savor before Elohim. This was his offering in consequence of the vow, which he had vowed that he would give a tenth with their fruit offerings and their drink offerings. So here is what we should have been doing when we grew up in these churches, is offering, not debt fiat currency, but offering livestock, offering the fruits of the ground. And when he had consumed it, he burnt incense on the fire, over the fire, and for a thank offering, 2 oxen, and 4 rams, and 4 sheep, 4 he-goats, and 2 sheep of a year old, and 2 kids of the goats. Thus he did daily for 7 days. So this is what I do also. I chose a new butcher shop and got lamb, beef, or steak, whatever, and that's what I've been doing. It doesn't have to be a real big, it don't have to be a whole animal, but it's just a good enough meat where it can be accepted as an ascending smoke offering. And I burned it daily for 7 days, and I got to do it for actually 8 days. And he and all his sons and his men were eating this with joy there during 7 days and blessing and thanking Yahuwah, who had delivered him out of all his tribulation and had given him his vow. So this sounds like to me, this is just 7 days of thanksgiving. So what you've been thanking the most, thanking Lord or God over, you can also change that and do 7 days of thanksgiving in a row, thanking the Most High, and he will actually hear your prayers, actually hear your words on those days when he knows you're trying to follow his feast days. He didn't pay attention or listen to you of all your wasted prayers that you did during Thanksgiving dinners, Easter dinners, and Christmas dinners. And he tithed all the clean animals and made an ascending smoke sacrifice, but the unclean animals he gave not to Levi his son. And he gave him all the sons of the sons, gave him all the souls of the men. So, again, when we talk about this whole argument between clean and unclean, it still is a prerequisite in the Torah that is something that we must follow. And people can say, oh, no, people twist up or take out of context Yahushua's words when he said, what goes in the man doesn't defile him, but what comes out of him defile him. And to say that Yahushua said there that all things are blessed, all things are clean, and you can eat whatever you want. You can try that if you want to. But if the Most High said, I change not, that means he's telling me, even from this day, when Yaakov didn't even have the Torah, didn't even have the Levitical priesthood or the priest, as far as the law itself written down, he still did not give his son Levi unclean animals to sacrifice. Because he understood also, he must have, why Cain's offering was rejected and why he knows to give the Most High livestock without spot, without blemish, things that are goodly or acceptable. And he had to be taught this through Abraham and through Isaac into not giving the Most High an offering or a sacrifice that was ill-gotten or not worth the glory and praise of the Most High. And this is why I said you must learn how to do it yourself, because then you really start looking at fruit and your offerings completely different. You know, when you went to church, you just took out a crumply old raggedy dollar bill and just dropped it in the plate. Or you just took change that, you know, you found in the sofas and just dropped it in the collection plate with no care and thinking like this is the offering that I just need to give to the Lord or give to God. But when you read these scriptures, I bet when you walk into the grocery store and you be like, I want to offer up some fruit to the Most High, I bet you picking that fruit up and looking to see if it's damaged, see if it's swollen, see if it's soft in certain areas, seeing if it would be rejected. I know when you start thinking of that, thinking of offerings that way, you'll start thinking of yourself the same way. Like, I can't go into the kingdom being this polluted. I can't go into the kingdom with this vice still stuck in my flesh. I can't go into the kingdom with this trouble that I'm bringing from either past relationships or other relationships before. I know if I'm coming in as a temple, I'm coming in as a representation of the Most High, I gotta be pure. I gotta be clean. My mind can't be still filled with sports. It can't be filled with porn. It can't be filled with fleshly desires. So if you think of yourself more like an offering, I'm pretty sure you would clean yourself up. And I think Christians, if they understood what the true meaning of tithing would be, tithing and offerings are, they themselves would come out of Christianity faster than anybody else, I would believe. Because your soul will convict you, your ruach will convict you. You would understand, like, I can't offer something that's tainted. And since they walk around here all day talking about, oh, I'm just a lonely sinner. I'm just, I'm just a humbled and shamed sinner. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that because I'm a sinner. You would stop thinking of yourself that way in that context, because you know you'd be preparing yourself to be an ascending smoke offering. So that means you'd be cleaning up your ruach. You would make sure you wouldn't be in here sinning or willfully sinning. You would make sure you're not out here lying or living lasciviously. You would make sure that everything was in a row and making sure you were pure and purged before you knew that day would come where you have to offer up yourself. I know it'd be completely different for them if they understood that. Verse 10, thus he tithed again to Yahuwah and sanctified it, and it became holy unto him. And for this reason, it is ordained on the heavenly tablets as a Torah for the tithing again, the tithe to eat before Yahuwah from year to year. Now, this is something I'm still waiting for confirmation on what that actually means. When it says, thus he tithed again the tithe to Yahuwah. So not only did Yaakov offer up, not only did he offer up his livestock for the 7 days, but he also offered it again on top of that just to eat his food. So he's offering for the Most High, but also offering the Most High again for a thank offering so he could eat. And then he sanctified it. And it's ordained on the heavenly tablets. So to put this in modern terms, if you were in a religion and you went to church on Sunday and the collection plate came around, you would give your dollar. Because you knew that was the offering for the Most High. Now, say they're eating or they're having dinner at the church. The collection plate will come around again and you would give another dollar just so you can eat. This is what I'm trying to understand myself. So, in addition to an ascending smoke offering that I do today or tonight, if I, again, buy another offering, another meat offering, I will then give another offering in order for me to eat for that day or that night, is what I'm coming to the understanding. So this is something you guys can puzzle over or think for yourselves before your seventh month comes. But I think it's important to understand this, because if it's written on the heavenly tablets, it's important to understand. And it says it is ordained on the heavenly tablets as a Torah for the tithe, and again, the tithe to eat before Yahuwah from year to year in the place where it is chosen that his name should dwell. And to his, and to this Torah, there is no limit of days forever. The Most High got to tell you twice in one paragraph that it's forever. There is no limit of days, that what they do in heaven, you also will do doing in earth. And what you do on earth, you shall also be doing in heaven. And I don't think people understand, they think that, oh, I could just do these pagan feast days, and then when I get to heaven, I'll just do the Most High feast days when I get up there. No, 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 this ain't how it goes. This is the audition. This is the audition for that. People keep saying, oh, no, it's legalistic. Oh, it's just works. It's just works for salvation doctrine. It's not. It's something you will have to do. We will have to do it. If we are blessed to get into heaven, you think we just sitting around? What do you think we doing? You think we're not going to do Passover? You think we're not going to do the feast days until all time? What do you think? We just going to get up there and just be sitting around in Yah's living room, chilling, just talking? This ordinance is written that it may be fulfilled from year to year, and the eating the second tithe before Yahuwah in the place where it has been chosen, and nothing shall remain over it from it from this year to the year following. So like no leftovers. And this seventh month is also the month that Yaakov no longer became Yaakov, but Yasharel. So the seventh month and its season is extremely important, especially to Yah, because if Yah put Abraham on the start out on the Sukkot, and he put Yaakov on the same calendar, and then he put the Israelites hundreds of years later on the same month, on the same calendar, telling him, this is what you got to do. I made you dwell in tents just like your father, your forefather Abraham dwelled in tents hundreds of years ago. I'm letting you know that this is all my, I predict a programming you for you to do these feast days so you are not shook when I visit this world, that you are prepared. Now, mind you, we aren't going to guess the day or the season or the month that the Most High comes back. We're not even going to be able to predict the hour. But I'm telling you through the examples of his calendar and how he has ordered these feast days, you can almost be certain that his son coming back, that these plagues, that judgment is all done on his calendar for us to go through the same exact Exodus process that the Israelites went through in Egypt and and be able to find out that, this is where the real biblical Yerushalayim is. And it has always been this way. We were wrong being in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, only time is going to prove who was right or wrong in this. So it's going to be exciting if the Most High shows up and we're doing the second Exodus in September, which would make me right because the Southern Hemisphere in springtime is in September or is in our September. Or he can make me wrong and then the Passover would be March and we leaving out of here in March. So only time will tell what hemisphere is going to be right. Or he might do a new thing. I'm not trying to guess the Most High's prophecies, but he may do a new thing. He may bring us out of here doing June, July, or whatever he wants to do. But I would like to think that I'm following the Most High's calendar or following his feast days and understanding that these things and the numbers that he used, the timeline that he's used to do these events in, are all strung together. So, like he said in scripture, that we shouldn't have anything to worry. He has shown us the end from the beginning so we can have an expected end. He didn't say an unsuspecting end. He said to have an expecting end, that you know where the beginning is and you know exactly where the end is. Now, what you do between there, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do to survive. You can go to Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 to 31. But if from thence you shall seek Yahuwah Elohaka, you shall find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. It don't say you will find me doing it half-assedly. Understand? I know it's not a word. You won't find me being half-assed. You won't find me being lazy. You won't find me just in a hobby or whenever you feel like it. When you seek me with all your heart, and with all your soul, when you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days. When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to Yahuwah Elohaka and shall be obedient unto his voice. For Yahuwah Elohaka is a merciful El. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore 7 oaths unto them. The Most High is bound by his word to Abraham and our forefathers. And like I said before, when you are obedient to his voice, he will never destroy you. That's why I said before in the previous episode, I have not read a scripture that the Most High would see a man in his righteousness, in his uprightness, doing all the feast days, living by the Torah, giving alms to the poor, looking after the widow, paying attention to the fatherless, or judging between the fatherless, and say, you know what, I'm going to destroy him from off the face of the earth. I have not read it. And this confirms it. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. That means I should do as Father Abraham, Father Yitzchak, and Father Yasharel. I should do that because his son is even mentioned in the New Testament. For those who are only New Testament believers, he told me that you will see Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yasharel, and the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrust out. He's telling us, he's giving us four examples. He's given us four examples, four men to live by, apart from his own. He's given me three examples of men that are already said to be in heaven before we are actually judged, that he knows that they're already in heaven. And what they did was ascending smoke offerings, the feast days, living righteously, giving alms to the poor, and being upright with their brothers, with their women, with their children. I don't see how hard that is. I truly don't. But yet, religion tries to complicate this as if they shouldn't be searching for righteousness. They finding ways not to grow. They keep going to Paul to ensure their ruach doesn't need growth, that they're fine where they're at. And then when you tell them that these are the things that made these men successful, they're going to tell you it's legalism. They're going to tell you it's a Hebrew roots movement. That's insane to me. If you play a video game and you don't know what you're doing, back in the day when they had Nintendo and Sega Genesis, when they came with the video games, they actually came with the instruction booklet within the game of how to actually play. You young kids don't remember that. Now you just get a game and you just jump on it. But back in the day, when you bought a game, they would tell you, there was a pamphlet inside the sleeve of the game that would show you how to play the game. No one back then played the game and looked at the thing and was like, I'm not going to do this in order to beat the game. No one's ever done that. When you get the handbook, when you get the rule book, you look at the game, you look at the rules of the game and go, this is how I'll beat this game. Then you play it yourself and you be like, you follow the rules of the game. I don't get how people in religion, when you get the rules of the game, sit there and say and make up all the excuses you want to make up and say, I don't want to follow the ways to beat the game. I want to do it my own way and just fail doing it. Or just not even playing the game. Just coasting through it. I will never understand these type of people. And most of us now are like, we're like the pamphlet inside the video game. We're like the walking rule books. We're telling people, hey, you should do this in order for you to live. You should do this in order to be not destroyed. You should do this in order to be blessed. And for people to tell you, like, no, I don't need to do that. I'm good where I'm at. I don't need to do any more. This is why the Most High said, I made this world for many, but the world to come for few. This is why Proverbs 1:26 on down for the rest of that chapter is going to be eye-opening or eye-awakening for a lot of people. When they're going to start trying to seek him, and he told them, like, you will not find me. And people think, like, the Most High is not going to cut his ears off from people after a while. Just like he did, yes, God gave you 125 years to turn to get it right. Didn't happen. If you find me 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah that were righteous, I'll save it. Couldn't find not one. So the Most High wasn't doing it without cause. He was long-suffering enough to let you get chances before he do what he got to do. If he did it with us, when in scripture he said, I'm going to turn my back, I'm going to turn my face on them. When they cry to me with a loud cry, I will not hear them. And you know, I would like to know how the Most High wouldn't hear us. Because if you read scriptures, how he even knows that the blood of Abel, till this day, still cries out to him. So, of all the righteous blood that was shed upon this earth, that cries up to him daily for recompense, for the Most High said, I'm not going to hear you when you cry through your disobedience. It ain't like the Most High going to put some Bose headphones on and some sound-canceling headphones on and just turn. He's like, he actively got to not listen to you. So why test him when he said he's done this with us? In scripture, turn his back on us just to see what our end would be. And you see what our end is. Even today, you see what our end is. The more and more you look at the Negro community and Negro America, you see what our end is. You basically watching exactly how we acted in the wilderness when we left Egypt. That's what you're seeing. Being here too long, this is exactly what how we acted, that's like a case study. When you look at the Negro in this America, when you talk about black fatigue, and I understand where it comes from, when you look at the foolishness of young black women dancing in high school graduations over a Masonic education, when you see that, you can understand that we are the Israelites of Scripture. You can completely understand how we acted in the wilderness when we erected that golden calf. You can see it. You could just imagine, just put a golden calf in the middle of that high school graduation. That's exactly how the Israelites acted then. We almost reaching that point. We really are. Because they were in Egypt for 430 years. They did hard bondage for like 180 or something. But they were in Egypt 430 years altogether. So going into that wilderness at year 429 and getting ready to leave at 430 years, look exactly how they were acting then. And look exactly how they're acting now. So prepare, because the Most High is telling us through the Old Testament, through the ancient days and the ancient ways, that I am going to save you because I want you to see my works and wonders. I want you to see why I do Sukkot. I want you to see why I do the Passover. I want you to see why I did the Exodus. I want you to see why I put you in the wilderness. I want you to see this. So when you're participating in what I'm telling you to participate in, then you grow closer to me. Because you'll understand why I've done it from the beginning. If you don't want to participate into it, I will remove you, have anybody that around you absorb your resources, if you are hoarding. I will remove you from off this land, and I will raise up somebody else who would follow in my footsteps so they can understand my glory and why I'm deserving to be praised amongst the heathen and amongst the stranger. I'm going to show you why. So that, to me, is why I take the seasons, the feast days, important enough to understand so I can understand Yah, to understand his mysteries, to understand why he did what he did, why he set the boundaries of this world the way he set them. And you cannot understand this if you're still doing worldly feast days, things that he did not erect, things he did not make his statutes or his ordinances. Now, I'll get into Wednesday the stuff I missed today, because I wanted to get into more of the little worldly stuff that's funny and hilarious, and especially when it comes to the Burkina Faso military leader and what Trump is actually doing in Saudi Arabia, which people are missing the point with that. And it's starting to reek of Albert Pike's Three World War Letters when he talks about the holy war with Islam, Zionism, and of course anyone disillusioned with Christianity who is going to accept the true doctrine of Luciferianism. So I'll get into that Wednesday. Peace.